Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. But let's be honest, more importantly, it's Frank Dolce who joins us now. It's your Ute Preview Show. Frank joins us on Thursdays from 12 to 2. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
It was a close one. I almost didn't make it today, like every week when I make it.
Did you have an important business meeting?
I think Frank's had enough of this.
Frank, I noticed that you brought two milkshakes. That is not enough for everybody here.
I know. I'm a little disappointed.
Johnny does not want to share his shake with me.
He shouldn't. Don't share your shake. Look, I have been I offered, and then I offered like some other type of nourishment. Everything was denied. And then last week, Johnny says to me, sitting there, Johnny's like, well, I like milkshakes.
Johnny was like, I like pizza and I like milkshakes.
I like milkshakes. So Johnny and I are going to enjoy a milkshake together.
Was that part of the shakedown, that shake once? Because I remember right, it was a very quality shake.
It is. Mm-hmm. Kind of surprisingly.
I don't think of that place and think of shakes.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Like you and I think of like going to Nielsen's for a nice frozen custard.
Oh, man,
yeah,
that sounds so good.
Right?
You stop it.
You stop that.
Just because you think it's expensive doesn't mean it's not good.
Just refinanced my house. I would like a 2-scoop this time.
No, how much is
that's worth the 30 years of payments? So
How much are the macadamia? No macadamia.
No,
this time.
No.
It is worth that.
Can't quite get
mortgage.
The 3 scoops. So Scotty and I were debating if you would be here, and then we placed odds on it. And when we placed odds on it, Johnny yelled from the background, he better be here. He promised me a pizza. So,
yeah, well, maybe next week we'll do pizza.
So
please
we know.
Don't, please don't.
Shakes today.
We know you're a shake through a straw guy. You're not a spoon guy on your shake, right?
I don't really think of it as a shake unless you can drink it
through
a straw. I don't want it super thin, but it has to be.
I am kind of curious to know the Italian in you, where you stand on pizza. Like thin, or do you want like a heavier crust, or where are you at on that?
I know. I probably will let down like real Italians, but I enjoy almost all types of pizza.
That's how I am. I'm like non-discriminatory when it comes to pizza.
There's very rare
you know,
times
there's
where
a big,
I'm like, I didn't like that.
There's a big rare food club thing down the street from where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
That I love that pizza.
Oh yeah. I do too. That's a really quality pizza.
Very inexpensive. Yeah, I mean, price to quality on that one is about the best you can get.
They got rid of their combo. I used to love their combo.
Oh, is that right? Well, yeah. I didn't. I only got the cheese or the pepperoni. So,
yeah, so
that works out. That worked out well for me. I love.
Not a fan of their hot dogs, by the way.
You're not. Yeah. My dad.
Oh, I am.
Calls me regularly or texts me regularly and says, "Hey, I'm at Costco. I got a dog and a." Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Hey, we found out Christian Cox can eat 1.5 of those
pizzas.
No. So,
or a hot dog.
No, hot dog. So there was a
certain amount of time.
And I don't know if they still have it going on at the arena, but the Ford Fan Zone, they had an all you can eat hot dogs. And so we were doing that, reading that liner. And I asked Christian, I'm like, how many hot dogs do you think you could eat? He's like, oh, I could do like 10. Easy. Well, my wife was driving around, heard it, and she said, hey, I'm going to Costco. And I'm going to, and you want me to pick up some hot dogs for Christian? Because he was really running his mouth on how many he could eat. So she goes, and she brings like 15 hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
And Christian made it through 1.5 before he tapped out.
And he quit.
Before he was done?
Yeah, he quit. And it was so embarrassing. We were all horrified.
That is embarrassing.
But everything else about Christian is perfect. So
that's true, actually.
Yeah. Everything else is perfect. Frank,
he's a lovely man.
He is. Incredible. Frank, do you have any piercings or tattoos that you'd like to tell us about?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive. Okay. That is the weirdest thing.
That is
You, is anyone's?
What are you,
where did that come from?
I'm a little curious about that as well.
I mean, what is this? Is this leading into Utah ASU? I sure hope so, because I'm confused. First,
That Ute offense really pierced that USC defense.
Yeah, well, he tattooed the quarterback on that one. I mean, what are you gonna? How are you gonna do
but
this?
But I do want him to. But I do want to answer that question though.
Yeah,
I just said
everybody does.
Yeah. Nobody does, and no is the answer.
All right.
My body is a temple. Give me more of that shake.
Well, don't say it.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Don't say it like it's a bad thing. So, Frank, Arizona State really tattooed the defense, and I can't make it. Oh, hey, you know what, though? Good place to start. You ready for this? Arizona State's defense gave up 13 yards to Stanford's rushing game last week.
I think Stanford should have been more committed to the run in that game. But Stanford hasn't been truly committed to the run this year. It doesn't feel like it feels to me like Stanford is trying to throw the ball more regularly than be what they've been in the past. And that's a, you know, push you around at the line of scrimmage, run the football sort of team. And I don't know that it feels to me like they've gone the passing route a little bit more.
So,
but that's still an impressive number, and it's a defense that's heavy with upperclassmen.
I want to get your thoughts on what you saw out of Cam Rising from your perspective as a quarterback. He looked good. He had good rhythm. The accuracy seemed to be good. I mean, there was really not a lot that you can complain about with what you saw against Cam Rising against USC. The question is that the kind of performances you're going to get going forward?
Clearly, Cam Rising has the ability. He demonstrated that against USC, and USC is a talented but, I don't know, disinterested football team at this point. So can we expect that? I think that he certainly demonstrated that ability. The bigger question to me is he going to have the same type of opportunity to perform that way because his offensive line is playing the same way that they played against USC. I watched USC defensively play Colorado, and the quarterback from Colorado just never had a set pocket. I mean, he was running for his life the whole game, and his numbers tell that story. He didn't look good at all. And so I was really expecting Cam to be under duress against USC, and it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. So is Cam going to be that successful moving forward? Absolutely, he can be, but he's going to need help up front.
So we've seen that Utah offensive line jumbled, shaken up. I mean, big shakeups. You're taking Braden Daniels from the inside, putting him out of tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, about 6 minutes left in the second quarter, we saw Jaron Kump, your starting tackle, go down, and we saw Bam Olesinyi come in. So you had Bam Olesinyi and Daniels at the tackle spots,
mm-hmm.
and Bills along with Nick Ford at the guard and center, and I believe it was Lamea that was at the other guard.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like that was the most secure combo. So you watch USC's front. You said that they got after Colorado. Because I watched what Utah did up front from that moment forward, and I thought, don't ever change. Now, Scotty and I were talking about this. It also came with Tavian Thomas in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it came with great blocking from your tight ends. So there was help from both the tight ends and the running back, but it was the best offensive line combo that we've seen all year by far.
Yes. No question. Did they figure that out over 2 weeks of practice, or is it finally clicked over the course of the season, and then it just everything seemed to come together? Did it work like that with an offensive line, or was that just the right five guys on the field at the right time? I mean, it's hard to tell.
And how much of Tavian Thomas being where he's supposed to be makes
a
difference.
So that is another interesting question about this football team, because I've been inquiring about, like, I went into this week thinking, okay, so Utah's settled. They're settled with their offensive line, obviously settled with their quarterback, they're settled with their running back. I don't know that I get the sense that they're really settled at the running back position. Like,
even now,
like, and maybe that's gamesmanship. Maybe that's trying to encourage Tavian Thomas to still value ball security. I don't know what it is, but if you're a casual fan, or even if you're more than a casual fan, and you watched Utah perform against USC, wouldn't you come out of that game saying, number one, Tavian Thomas, two and three, Bernard and Pledger?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Pledger and Bernard.
Yeah.
Some. But Tavian Thomas.
2A, 2B.
Yeah, was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't it?
100%.
Well, I still think it's going to align that way for Saturday evening, but I haven't heard anything that says, yeah, he's our guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that, I guess I just kind of assumed coming
that's
out of
the
game.
That's what I assumed as well.
It's like,
yeah, that's what I assumed as well.
You saw him bury a guy in pass protection.
Yep.
Picked him up, ran him right in the ground.
Yeah. I mean, you always bring up practice.
It's just practice.
Could there have been something where he put a ball on the ground in practice or something like that?
That's all it would take. That's all it would take.
All it would take.
Got through one game without putting a ball on the ground, but, you know, you go back on a Tuesday or Wednesday when you throw pads back on and you get somebody to poke that ball out, that's all it would take. And it would put Tavian right back behind everybody. Absolutely, Scotty. That would be an issue. Possibilities there, Frank?
I just don't feel like that position group has been solidified. And I don't know the reason. I think there are several things, like trying to make sure that ball security is a major priority, or trying to keep other guys engaged or whatever. But that seemed odd that coming into this week, you wouldn't be talking about how your running game has been solidified.
Well, we've seen two different teams from the University of Utah. We saw the team that we saw last week against USC where they put up 42 points, and then we saw the team against their rival at BYU where they put up 17 points. We've seen just the complete opposite spectrums against, you would expect at the very least USC to have good talent on the field. And BYU, I thought, put together a great game plan in that game to slow down and at times stop that Utah offense. But, okay, so Frank, who do you think that this team is? Are they more the team that we saw against USC, or are they more a team that we saw against BYU? And I know that it's probably somewhere closer to the middle but what do you believe this team is more? What we saw in back-to-back weeks, BYU, San Diego State, or back-to-back weeks, or, well, I guess by week, but Washington State and USC?
Talent-wise, it's more of the team we saw against USC. But BYU learned this lesson last week. I think talent-wise, you'd probably say BYU's better than Boise State. But they put the ball on the ground four times.
Those two fumbles.
Correct.
Yeah.
Inside the 25, change that game around.
Yeah.
100%.
So you go back and you say, oh, BYU hasn't had a fumble all year or whatever, and then they have four turnovers in that game, right? Four
yep.
turnovers. Yeah. And then you lose that game.
And didn't force – I mean, they were minus four in the turnover margin.
Yeah.
They did not force them.
So – and then go back to Utah, who came into the USC game a minus two on the year, and they had several turnovers against BYU. So – if Utah is clean, no turnovers, then absolutely it's much more of the USC version of Utah. If there's no ball security, then they could lose to anybody in the conference. And that's true of anybody maybe outside of Colorado and, Arizona. I mean, you probably – those are two teams where I think you could potentially lose the turnover battle, still win the game. But everybody else, if you lose the turnover battle this week against Arizona State, then you don't win that – it's very unlikely that you win that football game. Arizona State, Oregon State, Oregon, UCLA, and then maybe you can get away with it, Arizona and Colorado. But turnover margin is just that important, and it makes a team look completely different in terms of win and loss.
And throughout the landscape of a game, BYU's up 10-0 in that game, turn it over twice, Boise State takes the lead, and they can't get it back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, honestly, I think if those two teams play again 10 times, BYU wins 7 out of 10. But, you know, the turnovers just turn things around dramatically. So, Arizona State, obviously a really good team. Utah's certainly shown the ability to get themselves where they need to be. Does it feel like the defense has got it locked in? Kyle was really downplayed his defense. He wasn't happy.
I know.
Was a little surprised by that.
I know. I thought that was interesting. Well, they did. You know, they gave up almost 500 yards in offense. They did keep everything in front of them. Drake London had that really nice touchdown, spectacular kind of touchdown catch run.
Is he the best receiver you've seen in a while?
Yeah, he's pretty darn good. Like he seems like he has all the tools. Physical gifts, the athleticism, determination, focus. I mean, he's just grit. He seems to have all of that stuff. So I really like him. I think he's going to be a long time next level kind of guy. So yeah, but you give up that amount of yardage. I thought Utah did a better job in the first half of that game making Slovis uncomfortable. And it felt like it dropped off in the second half of that game. Like Slovis was operating more out of a clean pocket. And it felt also like Utah didn't have a pressure package as much. They were rushing four and just, you know, trying to keep everything in front of them. I don't know, but I've felt for several weeks now like this defense has moved forward. No question about it. I think it's a good group.
I do too.
I was just looking at Arizona State's turnover situation, and they have, man, they have forced 8 interceptions, and they've got 2 fumbles. They've got 10 total takeaways. They've lost 5 fumbles and 3 interceptions, so they're in a +2 situation right now. But against Stanford, they were a +2. It was 3-1 against Stanford. And I know that that's a category that we try not to focus too much on, but it played a huge role last weekend in a big game. And, you know, coming off a USC win, if you want to keep that tempo – and the struggles that we've seen from Utah, it's just an area you've got to focus on this week. It's huge. Arizona State, you've got very little margin for any error. Scotty and I were going through the numbers yesterday, talking about that USC team, and we were comparing numbers and comparing it to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
In nearly every statistical category, Arizona State is beating USC in defensive, offensive, margins, all those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State overall is just a better football team.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I think Arizona State is, by a small margin, the best team in the South. They would be competitive. They would be competitive in the North as well. I think that Arizona State might even say that Arizona State is top of the conference by some small margin. So, like we said before, it's a defensive team that's led by a lot of upperclassmen. They're athletic. They're good at the line of scrimmage. As you've mentioned, they forced a bunch of turnovers, interceptions. So intimidating on the defensive side. Offensive side, they have a good running game, really solid up front. athletic wide receivers, and the X factor in Daniels, the quarterback, which I think, you know, Jaden Daniels, DTR, UCLA, those are the two quarterbacks left on Utah's schedule that give me the most, that make me the most anxious. Because I'm curious about how Utah will contain those guys. You're not going to be able to contain them all the time. But if, especially Daniels, if he gets out of the pocket, look out. And that's the big concern for me this weekend. How does Utah manage that?
Do you feel, where is your confidence level now against Arizona State than it was a week ago before you saw the USC game?
Really good. Way better. At one point, I thought we were looking at maybe a 500 kind of team.
Because you brought up a really good point. You take the Aaron Lowe stuff out of it and the emotion and how that might disrupt this team. At the end of the day, maybe this team just wasn't very good this year.
Yeah.
And that was a real thing. And I think a lot of that maybe got set aside by what we saw against USC.
Yes. I think that was a big concern, is maybe they're just not that good. And they're young. So that's another thing. Maybe a few games under their belt was helpful. I thought this team had talent. Maybe they just hadn't gelled. Then we saw USC. So my expectation now went from 500 team to team that competes for, at the very minimum, the South title. At the max, gets themselves into the championship game. I think that's a real possibility now. We'll know a lot more after Saturday, but I think that's a real possibility.
There were two things that Frank and I both saw. We talked in the post game about it that looked great and felt like it started to change maybe the trajectory of this Utah football team. Scotty, we'll talk about those things next.
Ooh, you like that?
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum.
That was nice. Excellent work.
That's a tease, folks. And you can come down here to Tim Daly Infinity. Frank, you are a big fan of luxury vehicles.
Well,
look around. That
takes a lot to carry this around.
That QX80 behind you, the QX80 to your right, those are beautiful rides. And they have got them in stock, and you can get one of those or any of the new vehicles here at Tim Daly Infinity with 0% financing. It's going to save you thousands and thousands of dollars. You also have the forever warranty attached to all these vehicles, and they've got over 500 used cars to choose from as well. So you have an opportunity to come down here, get into an Infiniti that you've always wanted to drive. Your kids are going to think you're a better person. Your wife will think you're a little bit more attractive. Your employer will respect you a lot more if you drive an Infiniti. Your life overall will just be better. So come down here, 4550 South State Street. Tim Daly Infiniti. Plus, we got a bunch of jazz gear. Season just a week away. Come by, grab some gear, and let's go. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
It's a trip to the Lone Star State for the Cougars as BYU heads to Waco for a massive showdown against Baylor as the Cougars look to knock off a future Big 12 opponent. Catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 12:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All Utes, all the time. This is your Ute Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Utes gets set for a showdown against Arizona State. I got an echo, Lloyd. I don't know if you can help me out with that or not.
I like that.
You like that? Echo.
You like it because you can hear your own voice?
It sounds like we're in a stadium and we're the PA announcers.
Like then, Lou Gehrig. I'm the luckiest.
Yes.
Luckiest.
Absolutely. I don't know that I want to do this for the rest of the show, but.
No, you would not want to do that. That
makes it difficult.
All right. So Michelle Gardner is going to join the program here in a bit. Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic. And we'll chat with her and get some of her thoughts going forward, as it should be an interesting. That's mine. There we go. Are you good?
Yeah.
All right. We're good now.
I am good now, too. Thanks. Yep. Thanks, Lloyd.
All right. So
much better.
So we'll hear from Michelle Gardner coming up here in just a bit.
Okay, so before we jump out to Michelle Gardner, I mentioned two people in this game against USC that I thought made a big difference. Number one, let's start with Andy Ludwig. Frank, what did you see from the play caller of Utah that made a difference against USC?
Glad you brought this up.
Well, I thought the flea flicker that he called but didn't call was
okay.
Unbelievable.
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot where there's confusion?
Yeah.
I mean, but that was a big one. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, that was
which ended up
like,
being great, but
you know, different wristbands or whatever, reading the wrong number off the wrong wristband or whatever happened. Yeah, that happens. That happens pretty regularly, and
I have a theory on that, by the way.
It happens in all sorts of circumstances. Is your theory that Cam did that on purpose?
Because he's like, you going to bring Quavian in for me? No, you're not. I'm the only guy. Brewer's gone. I want to throw this, and let's go. Let's have some fun. So I'll go and say there was a miscommunication, but it's 4th and 1. We have a chance to put this team away. Let's go.
Miscommunication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I'm mostly joking there, but.
No, I think that could be true. I understand there's a rift between Rising and Ludwig. Like, they are not getting along. Like, when you were saying that off air, they're not getting along very well right now.
Is that true?
No.
Oh.
That's not true at all. No, I thought the way that they managed it was fantastic. Like, Cam calls the wrong play. Coach Whittingham's like, what formation? Or more likely, someone is saying in Coach Whittingham's headset, what formation are we in? Cam comes running off the field after USC calls timeout. And they said, what are you doing? What'd you call it? He's like, well, I called the flea flicker. And Coach Whittingham's like, well, what do you think, Andy? And they go with it. And we just roll with it. I thought Andy Ludwig was very good. To be fair, maybe he was more creative in this game. Maybe. But I don't know that we ever can really tell, because Utah quarterbacks prior to this point weren't really getting the same sort of protection. They didn't really have the same opportunity to make a read downfield or to let receivers get separation and make the plays in the passing game. So to say that Andy Ludwig was more creative in this game, I don't know if that's 100% accurate. Maybe slightly. But I feel like watching this team, I keep saying, why are they trying to throw the ball so much? I think they've been trying to push the passing game, but just haven't been getting the help up front. Mm-hmm.
Joining us now on the Smart Rain guest line, Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic, Michelle Gardner, one of the best out there, kind enough to join us. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Michelle.
I'm doing great. I'm telling you what, I'm sitting outside of my apartment and it's 70 degrees.
Oh,
it's perfect
no.
Perfect weather here in Arizona. Not that I want to make you guys jealous or anything, but if anybody came to visit now, they'd never leave.
Yeah, it's just the July and August that maybe creates a bit of a problem down there for you guys.
Yeah, July's a little bit iffy, but no, it's beautiful weather here right now, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, Michelle, we're sitting in 23-degree weather. We got snow all around us, so that's one thing. If you want to ski, come and hang out with us.
Something I've never tried and don't wish to.
Yeah, there you go. So Arizona State riding high after that. You know, they did have the loss to BYU, but overall this team's playing some really good football right now. What is it that's really jumped out to you as why this team has had the success they've had this season?
Well, you know, ever since the BYU debacle, they've kind of gotten better with each game. And I think the Colorado game might have been a turning point. And I hate to say that because obviously Colorado is not a good team. But when they came out after the BYU game, everybody was kind of interested to see, okay, this could go south in a hurry real fast, or they can suck it up and start living up to potential. So as far as the Colorado game, everybody here, you know, from a fan base standpoint, they beat Colorado basically the way they should have, and everybody went, eh, okay, it's only Colorado. But I think when they beat UCLA the way they beat UCLA, then kind of the fan base started turning around and saying, hey, this team maybe can still live up to what we thought it would do. And they've basically played better with each game. I mean, they've won the last three games all by double digits, and they haven't even played a perfect game yet. Special teams has been a little bit iffy, and they're still winning by double digits. So, gosh, if they can get all three phases together at the same time, this team could be pretty dangerous. But I just think it was kind of they regrouped after BYU, focused a little bit more, and maybe that was kind of a gut check.
Was there any more, you know, findings with the investigation, what's going on there, and the coaches that were out against BYU? Remember, Michelle, we talked to you about that before the BYU game, how that might be a confusion or distraction. Has any more of that been processed through, or is this Arizona State staff and current situation the same as when we talked in that BYU week?
Nothing's changed, and I don't quite frankly expect it to change anytime soon. You know, they're not going to make any other rash coaching decisions in the middle of the stream like this, so I don't think anything which is going to change, you know, for months.
The Stanford win, I thought, was impressive because Stanford had caused some problems for some teams around the Pac-12. But what's really jumped out to me about this team is just watching them on defense. And even BYU, who's, has been pretty good offensively, they get 27 points. But for the most part, I thought Arizona State did pretty good in that game. But defensively, what is it about this team that has made them so good this year, only giving up, 16 points per game?
Well, and more impressive, the fact that they shut UCLA out in the second half completely. Yeah. And against Stanford, they only gave up, I think, 3 points. And I think, going back, if I'm remembering this correctly, they've given up 26 second-half points all season. So they're making the right adjustments. You know, they've got a lot of depth, and that's one thing I think people kind of don't realize. They've had quite a few injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and they've basically not missed a beat with whoever's not been in there. And I don't know that Evan Fields is going to play this week. I think Chase Lucas is probably not going to play this week. So you're talking two of your veteran seniors in the back end of your defense. And they've just had younger guys step up whenever somebody's been out. But I've been really impressed with the defensive line and the pressure they're getting on the quarterback. And that's a unit that's missing two key players. I think we talked about Jermaine Lole earlier, and he's been out for the season. He had a triceps injury. He's not even been in the mix. He was lost before the season started. And then Trevez Moore, who was one of their pass rushers, he blew out a knee against BYU, and he's gone for the year. And then they missed Mike Matus last week. He's one of their defensive ends. I believe he'll be back this week. But Tyler Johnson has really stepped up, and he's been an animal. And they've gotten contributions from some guys that we would have never expected start of the year. One of those is a guy named B.J. Green, who's a walk-on. A literal true freshman walk-on, has 3 sacks, and he's playing key minutes. And they would have never imagined that. So I like what the defensive line is doing, and that's creating pressure on the quarterback. And that, you know, everything starts with pressure on the quarterback. You can't give any quarterback, no matter who he is, time to have a picnic in, you know, and pick out his wide receivers, or he's going to pick you to death, no matter who that is. So I like what the defensive line has done. And then, you know, the strength of this defense really is the back end of the defense, because that's where the veterans are. So they've got depth, they've got experience, and it all seems to be coming together right now.
I've been really impressed with their running game. They remain in the top 25 in the country, about 215 yards a game, and it's between Rashad White and you'll see Jaden Daniels get out and run. One thing we saw with BYU is they really limited Jaden Daniels in his ability to get out of the pocket and run around. How important is it for Arizona State that Jaden Daniels is able to use his feet as much as he uses his arm?
You know, he's got to pick and choose his spots. They don't want him out there running around crazy. And I can't remember which game it was, but he had 13 rushes out of the pocket. And Coach Edwards was not exactly happy with that. He says, we don't want the quarterback running 13 times because that means a lot of different things. It means he's not finding receivers downfield, or you just don't want your quarterback subjecting himself to getting hit 13 times. So, but he's really done a lot better job in the last two games of picking his spots, going through his progressions, finding his receivers. And I think that's one of the biggest difference in this team the last 3 weeks, is that he's picking his spots and he's running when he should run. He's staying in the pocket when he should stay in the pocket. And when you've got running backs the caliber that they have, you've got that luxury.
Converting 52% on third down, is that because of the running attack and the fact that they're staying ahead of the chains? What do you attribute that to?
Well, it's the running game, and it's also not putting yourself in third and long. So if you've got third, one, two, and three, your chances of converting that are pretty good. So I think it's a matter of getting some yards on first down and not putting yourself in bad situations. And let's not forget the penalties. You know, we saw in the BYU game the penalties and what that can do to mess up your offense. So last week, I believe they only had 5 penalties, and 4 of them came on one drive late. So they've done a much better they've basically done an about-face when it comes to that. And with the penalties, that's when you're putting yourself in second and long and third and long. So that's been a big factor there, too.
Well, I've got to imagine that this game is circled and there's huge emphasis on it, because I think that it plays large in the South Division. Just your thoughts on Arizona State coming to Rice-Eccles Stadium with this pressure mounted. How do you expect them to play?
Well, I think it's a veteran team. I mean, this is not like when they came 2 years ago and they got dominated on both sides of the ball and only had 136 yards offense, I believe. And, you know, that was a Jaden Daniels true freshman year. They started 2 true freshmen on the offensive line that year when Utah had the great behemoths up front on defense. So I think this is a better team. I think it's a more composed team. I think that they've learned from that experience. And I think they learned from the BYU situation with the crowd noise, too. And they've been practicing with that all week. So I just think that this is the team we thought we would see from the start of the year. And obviously they struggled and were underwhelming for the first few weeks. But I just think this is a poised team, and I think they're ready for the moment. And this is what they've been building for.
What's the vibe there regarding this Utah game from this Arizona State coaches and players? What do they expect out of the University of Utah?
Well, they know, you know what you get when you play Utah. You know, they're going to play that punishing defense. I don't think the DNA in the Utah program has changed. It's the same as it's always been. They expect a very tough, a very physical game. Utah's never going to change. As long as Kyle Whittingham is the coach, he's going to put out the same type of team. So they're expecting strong, physical game. You know, and who knows how the emotion's going to play in. I asked Herm about that on Monday with the emotion Utah's playing with. It's kind of hard to tell that can work for you or against you. And I know the team's been through a lot. Sometimes that can rally the troops, as they say, and you bond together and you have each other's backs. And I think it can be a bonding thing. But at some point, you never know when it can take a physical and emotional toll, what they've been through and flying to Texas for the funeral and coming back. So I think that's a variable that nobody really knows how that's going to factor in. But Herm Edwards talked, he has nothing but respect for Utah. He is very, he really much admires how Utah's handled the tragedy, both this one and the last one. And he thinks the coaching staff there has done a good job of being the voice of reason and being, you know, the head of the program, and he really respects what they've done and how they've handled this situation.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Great insight. Enjoy the game coming up on Saturday, and look forward to catching up with you again here very soon.
Anytime.
Interesting conversation and some good insight as well, as always, from Michelle Gardner. Does a tremendous job for the Arizona Republic.
She's fantastic. And I thought she hit it on the head with the variable of emotion. You just don't know how.
We didn't know what that would look like last week against USC. And now you've had a funeral this week. I'm not too overly concerned about the loss of a day in preparation. Should I be? I don't know, Frank.
Frank, how important is that Monday that they?
I mean, they did. I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it. I mean, I'm just wondering in the grand scheme of things.
What's the impact of it? I was talking about that. Monday is usually just you open up the lungs a little bit and
yeah.
get in the playbook.
That's the thing. I didn't really.
Film. Yeah, maybe some film review. I mean,
I'm sure they were able to do that on the plane.
I think that was if you're going to have to miss a day, that's the right day. Like, you get your work done middle of the week. So I'm not super concerned about the loss of that day of prep, but I think there are other factors to consider, like, you know, all of the emotion from last week and then the big victory and then
yeah.
I would be concerned about Utah potentially coming out flat against Arizona State, just because they've been dealing with a lot of different stuff.
With that being said, I'm still of the belief that if they do, I'm going to give them room. I'm going to give them some time, give them some room. I'm not going to be overly critical, overly difficult. They've been through hell and back.
Yeah.
You know, but you said it last week in the pregame, maybe in the preview show too, where at the very least you can expect them to come out and play hard. You could still come out and play hard.
Yeah.
I would still expect that against Arizona State, but the emotion of the game and everything that's gone on, you'd never know where to put these guys mentally.
You don't. But you could also say on the other side that, well, Utah was struggling a little bit, and then in the midst of all of the everything they were dealing with, they found a little footing, and maybe that's going to be a boost moving forward. I mean, ideally, this is a football team that would be able to generate a lot of positive energy from what they accomplished against USC, and really discovering what they could be as a football team. So, there's a potential, I think, with everything that's happened, they could come out flat against ASU. That would be tough to see, but maybe it goes the opposite way, and this is a team that is finding its footing at this point in the season.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. That's Frank Dolce. Hanson Scotty, it's your U Preview Show. We continue on next right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in former BYU wide receiver Dylan Colley.
Do you find Baylor to be a little bit of a mystery?
It is definitely a mystery, and that's only because of their new offensive coordinator. Who's the one that's actually calling the plays? Depending on how many times they fake the jet sweep, you'll have a pretty good idea of who's calling the plays.
So you're saying Grimes likes to fake the jet sweep a lot?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were able to watch 2018, but I probably faked the jet sweep about 1,500 times.
Well, you got yourself in shape then.
Oh, I was in shape. Sideline to sideline.
Hey, they had to respect your speed.
No question.
What did it say about you? I think it said good things about you.
Let me tell you, it was a tough one. When I did get it, though, it worked out.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Listening to the Ute Preview Show with Hanson Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
12:53, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, as you are listening to the Ute Preview Show, counting you down to kickoff, Utah and Arizona State. It's a big one, folks. Biggest game of the year.
This is a big one.
This is a big one.
I got a sneaking suspicion, though. There's a lot of momentum. And let's touch – I know you touched a little bit briefly on the offensive line. Kyle seems to feel like that's kind of starting to resolve itself a mm-hmm. bit. Do you feel that as well?
Well, we have a one-game sample
yes.
of it. So I think what I'm comfortable saying at this point is Utah has the potential to be really good at the line of scrimmage. And we saw that against USC, who's typically a very athletic front seven. And they didn't look like that against Utah. So I think they have the ability. But it's going to have to – you have to take it week after week after week. I think we have like a three-ish games of Utah not being really good at the offensive line and one game of them being really good at the offensive line.
We throw Washington State in there a little bit.
A little bit.
They made the move with Jaden Daniels in that Washington State game.
Yep.
They only gave up one sack to Washington State.
Yeah.
There was a little bit more time and a little bit more continuity, but I think all of us kind of wrote that off as, well, that's just Washington State. And you can't take into account anything that Washington State did defensively. And USC was one of those teams where it's like, oh, you could definitely take into account what they were incapable of and what Utah was able to do offensively
mm-hmm.
against USC. But Arizona State is the next step. I think their defensive front is bigger. You know, I had to prepare and get ready for this Arizona State team when they were playing against BYU. And it was undeniable. You heard Michelle talking about some of the injuries, and I don't know the guys that I watched and covered against BYU if those are some of the guys, but they've got two 325-pound big boys in the middle that move well, that really push the pocket back. And I think they will push the pocket back against LaMea, Ford, and Bills. I think they've got that type of power that they can do that. And now it's going to be about those islands if they can really step out. But was Michelle saying that it was a true freshman walk-on?
Yep.
That they've been playing
freshman
at the end that
walk-on.
Has three sacks?
Yeah. He's pretty darn good.
I can't believe that. So
he is pretty darn good.
Utah's in for it. They're going to be in for the next step in challenge in that offensive trench.
By the way, Jay Catch, to shift gears a little bit, Jay Catch is retweeting or just tweeting out with his sources that the Charlie Brewer is now officially in the transfer portal. Not a big shocker there.
Have you seen the Dr. Pepper commercial?
The fans, the transfer portal.
The transfer portal is hilarious.
Yes, they did a good job.
They nailed it. They nailed that commercial.
You've seen the depth chart. I'm not going to see the field at all this year.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, so good. You have to go check it out. So Arizona State brings in number three pass defense in the conference, number three rush defense in the conference, only allowing 116 yards per game, number one total defense in the conference, allowing just under 300 yards per game, an average of 4.64 yards per play, which is lowest in the conference. Utah not far behind, number three in total defense. Like Scotty was saying, I think that Utah has taken several steps. The defense started coming along faster than the offense. I'm pretty confident in the defensive unit. It's just that Jaden Daniels X factor. I'm curious to see how that plays out in this football game.
Yeah, but I got to imagine, Frank, with all of the intertwining that goes on between the BYU and Utah coaching staffs, that Utah's coaching staff is going to look at what BYU did defensively, where they held Jaden to just 8 yards of rushing, and mm-hmm. say, all right, so what? There's going to be a conversation there. There are enough avenues that there's going to be a conversation out there of, so what was your focus? And what did you do?
Well, there's another thing to consider in that game. Didn't Arizona State lose the turnover margin against BYU? I can't recall. But they did have some significant number of penalties in that game as well. The penalty disparity ASU and BYU was ridiculous. Like, Arizona State kept shooting themselves in the foot. So, absolutely.
Turnovers were 4-2. Arizona State 4, BYU 2.
Yeah. So, they lost a turnover battle.
And then there was the it was the false starts, if I remember right, that was given Arizona State.
Yeah, it was.
They had
16 penalties. 16 for
penalties.
Yards.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm having a hard time. I'm on Arkansas State's page. It's like, wow, this team is really bad. Like, how are they winning games?
I don't see a freshman defensive end.
Like, I don't know who you're talking about.
So,
two sacks all season.
I think those are two things to consider. When ASU's been good, they haven't had those issues. In fact, their penalty numbers have dropped right off the end of the table.
Outside of the game against UNLV, where they were minus one, but they won the game 37-10,
mm-hmm.
Arizona State has not been minus in a turnover margin, just the BYU game.
Yeah. So I think that's something to consider as well. And yes, Utah will talk with the BYU coaches and watch those films and talk about how defensive strategies and everything else. But I think it's a different Arizona State team.
16 turnovers for 121 or 16 penalties for 121 yards. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
against BYU.
Yeah. So, you know, you could say ASU plays a different game, a clean game, and that maybe it turns out differently. Maybe Jaden Daniels runs for more yards, whatever. But I think it's going to be really important for Utah to, you know, Arizona State's been really good about managing first and second down. Like, they find themselves in third and in manageable situations. So first and second down are going to be really important for Utah defensively this week.
Where do you feel like the Utah fan base is? How will they show up? Because you heard Michelle talking about the BYU noise, and the BYU noise did make a big difference. And Arizona State's been practicing and preparing for it, because I think coming out of that, Herm Edwards agreed and commented on it. You know, Arizona State takes an opening kickoff into the back of their end zone in that student section, runs 10, 15 yards, and coughs it up. That was the first kick return for Arizona State, was a fumble and a turnover. So, we're, you know, Utah fans have been through it to a certain extent, not as deep as the team with the loss of Aaron Lowe, but Utah fans are feeling the impact and the pain of losing another player. Where is their level of commitment? How excited are they coming out of a USC win in the Coliseum? And what do we expect from that fan base in Rice-Eccles Stadium?
I think there's significant excitement with the fan base. Because of all of the other things that have happened, but a lot of it because Utah performed so well against USC. I talked to a lot of people who were going down to Southern California who just thought, well, you know, we're going down to support the team for another loss in the Coliseum. I mean, it's just Utah just hasn't performed well down there.
But they did travel pretty well.
But they traveled well, and the fan base was energized, and I think the fan base is energized by that win. So if Utah can come out and show life, effort, productivity, absolutely. I think the fan base will be right there, and I'm certain prior to kickoff there's going to be energy in that stadium.
Be surprised if there's not. I mean, that place is going to be rocking for sure.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, 1 o'clock straight up, second hour of the preview show coming up next. We're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. These QX80s everybody's trying to get their hands on, they are in stock. They've got a bunch of them. So come by, take advantage of that. You're going to get it with 0% financing. The forever warranties apply to all their new and all their used vehicles, and they've got 500 used vehicles on the lot as well. So come down, check it out. It's Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.